I felt almost ashamed that I'd spent so long training and trying to become a doctor, and there I was, but I wasn't happy. And society kind of tells us, well, you know, work is stressful, but, you know, hey ho. And I just felt like I really couldn't live this life. I was early 30s and I was miserable in my job. Something had to change.
Listening to the Work in Progress podcast, and we're your hosts, Dana and Angela. We believe your work and your career should evolve with you, and it should always be in progress. In this podcast, you will hear stories of people who turn their careers from something that no longer serves them into something that complements who they are and their life goals. The way I like to think about it is that their careers are growing and stretching just like they are. We hope to inspire you to get out there and make the changes you want for yourself and your future self. Let's get started. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Thank you for joining us today. Today, we're talking to Dr. Christy Lewis. And from what we understand, she has done many different roles in the past. I'm seeing ballet dancer, physiotherapist, acupuncturist, and doctor. And now she is a health and life coach. And she's also a co-founder of a retreat. So we have a lot of questions for her. But before we start with all the questions, Christy, I was wondering if you could give us a little bit of a background for yourself. So feel free to tackle that however you want. You don't necessarily have to talk about all your careers in the past. You can talk about, you know, your favorite snack or your favorite drink, or and we'll just go from there.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's so, so lovely to share our stories, really. So a little bit about me. So I currently live in London in the UK. And as you said, I'm now a health and life coach. And I've had an interesting journey. But staying away from my career, I'm just living my life and just seeing where it takes me at the moment. I really find that life is an interesting journey, and you might have a really good plan in your mind of where life is taking you. But actually, I've taken quite a few interesting curves along the way, and thankfully, I've kept quite an open mind. And you know, at the moment, I'm just on a really amazing journey of self development and growth, and I'm just trying to find as much joy in my life as possible. And I do that through all sorts of ways: exercising, healthy eating, getting out into nature, meditating, So I'm just trying to live my life to the fullest at the moment.
That's amazing. Thank you. And so I am looking at your website for the coaching service, and you've put a lot of focus on stress. And I was wondering why that is so important for you.
So essentially, I'm sure everyone's experienced stress at some point in their lives, and to different degrees as well. But personally, on a personal level, I've experienced stress myself in lots of different ways. So essentially, I started as a physiotherapist. I really wanted to care for people. I really wanted to be hands-on and get involved, because I've always had a passion for exercise. And I really thought physio was going to be my career. And then I realized that I just needed to do more. And at that point, I wasn't too stressed, actually. But it was when I became a junior doctor that my stress levels rose enormously. And, you know, it was time pressures. There was a huge amount of, a huge number of hours working, with very few resources. And that's when I really realized that actually how much stress was impacting on my health. And again, it wasn't just pressure from my job. It was pressure from social media, pressure from people around me, pressure from society to be amazing at your job, to look a certain way, to be thin, and always be sort of doing so, so well. And I found myself spiraling into a really difficult time in my life. And this was in my 20s, where I was exhausted all the time. I was miserable. I was over-exercising to try and keep my energy levels up, but I was probably under-eating. I had a really, really bad relationship with food, actually, and I really was quite disordered with my eating habits. And I realized that was really making me miserable. My relationship was breaking down. I was hating my job. And stress was just having such a bad impact on my life, and I wasn't able to deal with it. And so it was only until I actually took myself out of the situation when I kind of reached a bit of a breakdown. No, not a breakdown. It was more of a burnout stage where I was just so exhausted all the time and I just wasn't sleeping and I just was miserable. That actually going away, and I happened to go to Bali and I booked a yoga retreat. And it was only until then that actually I realized how stressed I had been. And it was only until I actually stopped and took a breath that I realized that stress was really impacting negatively on my life. And also now as a GP, I see stress in probably 90% of my patients. And, you know, I see stress coming out in lots of different ways. It could be, you know, in health problems, but also psychological or mental health problems. And so not only physical, but also mental health problems. And it's being able to identify that in a patient that I found really rewarding to say, actually, physically, you're okay. And actually, we just need to tackle the stress. So that's why I'm hugely, hugely passionate about helping people to identify the signs of stress and help people to avoid burning out.
I definitely agree with you. I think stress is a very common thing in everybody's lives. And it's if you don't manage it well, it becomes a real problem and it affects every area of your life.
Absolutely.
It affects your performance, yeah, your health and your relationships and just everything. So I think I agree with you. It's definitely very important. And so when you were going through all these stress, you were working, and at what point were you able to, was there like a breaking point for you where you just decided, this is, I'm feeling too much stress? Or how did you come to that realization?
Yeah, it was an interesting one, actually. And I think there was a bit of a natural break. So I was just about to start a new job and in my GP work. And I was, my relationship had just broken down. So essentially, I just had that moment where I thought, what am I doing? I'm 30, I'm miserable, I'm about to start a new job, but I really don't want to. And my relationship's broken down, what do I do? And it was at that point that I think I was speaking to friends and family, and, you know, a lot of people said, just take a break, just delay starting your new job and just stop and do something. And so I thought to myself, the one thing I just need to do is go away. So I'd actually never really traveled on my own before. So I decided to book a trip to Bali because one of my friends was hosting a yoga retreat, and I just thought, wow. And she invited me and she said, just come along to it, what's the worst that could happen? And I thought to myself, that is so true. And so I went, and actually I really do feel that was quite a pivotal moment for me, because it actually forced me to slow down and realize what my priorities were in my life. And it was just an amazing feeling. So I think there was a bit of a natural break for me at that point when my relationship broke down and I was about to start a new job, that I could actually say, wait, I'm going to put the pause button on my life here and do something about this.
That's amazing. I find that it's so important, and in your case, very, very helpful to have people in your life that actually tell you that you need to take a break and, you know, slow down, do something different. I think that's wonderful that you were able to have that in that support in your life. And yeah, I understand. Like the first time I traveled by myself, I was pretty nervous too.
Yeah, it's scary, isn't it? It's very scary, but it's so, so amazing when you do it. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Liberating.
Yes, I agree. And so tell me a little bit about what you did. So obviously before you were a doctor, and have you always wanted to be a doctor? Did you always know that?
Interestingly, when I was at school, I was always interested in science. So I knew I was going to do something around the health world. And it was interesting because all my friends were going to study medicine to become doctors. And I thought to myself, no, I'm going to be different. I'm really into sort of exercise and I want to be a bit more hands-on with patients. And I just thought, I really, really want to do physiotherapy. So my dad is a psychologist, and so I kind of knew, because he's in the health health world as well, that I was going to go down some form of route. And he always wanted me to be a doctor, interestingly, but he would never, ever put pressure on me to do that. And I think possibly a small rebel in me, a little rebel in me at that time of my life, made me go down the physiotherapy route. And I have absolutely no regrets, because I've got some amazing experience from being a physio. But it was actually when I was actually practicing as a physio that I felt that I really wanted to do more. And that was when I decided to become a doctor.
I see. And so going from physiotherapist to a doctor, what was there, what others did you have to attend, more schooling and training, or what was it like?
Yeah, so it was actually really, really straightforward, because obviously being a physiotherapist, you do have a lot of anatomy and physiology experience. And then so when I then trained to become a doctor, I managed it, rather than training in 5 years, I was able to train in 4 years. Mm-hmm. And so I sort of got a year off, because I'd already done a lot of the biology behind being a doctor. And so that was quite good. So then I did another 4 years training to become a doctor. And then following that, I decided to specialize to become a GP. And that was an extra 3 years on top of that.
I see. Okay. And this was all in London?
So no, actually, interestingly, I did my physiotherapy degree in Manchester, up northern England, and then I actually trained to become a doctor in Liverpool, another city, and then I decided to move to London to train as a GP, a general practitioner, or a family doctor, so I've travelled around to get the experience. Mm.
Was it difficult to going from a physiotherapist to a doctor?
No, I really didn't feel it was. I actually felt that I had a huge advantage, because I'd already started communicating. You know, as a physiotherapist, you do a lot of communicating with patients, and you're spending a lot of time one-to-one with patients. And so actually I felt like I had a huge advantage becoming a doctor, because I'd already started speaking to patients and examining them. And for some people who had just come from school, that was quite a new skill to learn. And so I'd already done that. So I felt that was a really lovely transition.
Mm, yeah, that transition made a lot of sense. How long were you a physiotherapist before you decided you wanted to become a doctor?
So I, after training for 3 years as a physiotherapist, I decided to work for 2 years. And that's when I started to train as an acupuncturist as well, because I felt it worked really, really nicely. And it was after a couple of years that's when I really felt like I just wanted to do more. And that's when I decided to career change to become a doctor.
Tell me more about being an acupuncturist. Was it something, is that like a typical combination that people usually do in your field, or this is something that had a special, like you felt drawn to it?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I've always been quite a holistic practitioner. I'm really into essential oils, meditation, and acupuncture is something that I've been always fascinated about. I think I had it for a back problem once, and I just found it really fascinating from a scientific point of view, but also from an Eastern medicine point of view. I just found Chinese medicine really, really fascinating, and it just dates back to hundreds and hundreds of years. So I found it fascinating, and it is something that that physiotherapists do often do to help with musculoskeletal problems, particularly pain. But I was actually really interested in the Chinese medicine side of it as well. So I combined the two, and I was absolutely fascinated by it. And so it worked really, really nicely with my physiotherapy skills.
At this point, were you experiencing a lot of stress yet, or was it after you became a GP?
No, I wasn't experiencing much stress at all at this point. My life was pretty nice, and I was living not with my parents, but near close to my parents. And, you know, I was really enjoying it, but I just felt like I wanted to do more. Stress wasn't really a problem at this point.
What do you mean by more?
Yeah, it's really difficult to put a finger on it, because I did feel fulfilled as a physiotherapist, and I did really, really enjoy it. But I just felt like I wanted to stretch myself a bit more. I wanted to learn more science. I really wanted to get more in depth with health and I guess biology. And I really felt like I could just test myself a bit more. And I really felt I was always really interested when I was working in a hospital as a physiotherapist. I was really interested in being a doctor at that point. That's when I sort of realized that actually maybe I should have been a doctor. I never had regrets, but it was I was always questioning that career choice. And so it was always in the back of my mind, I think. And then it just came to a point where I just felt like I wanted to explore a different career and use my physiotherapy skills to leverage myself.
So once you became a doctor, then, you know, like how and when did you realize that actually it wasn't quite what you had imagined? Like it didn't really bring you the satisfaction and, you know, all the things that you were looking forward to doing.
Yeah, and I shouldn't feel guilty, but I do feel guilty for feeling this way because I felt like I had sort of worked so hard to become a physio, and then I'd decided to career change, and I'd worked so hard to become a doctor, and then suddenly I wasn't enjoying it. So I do actually feel quite guilty about that, but it's something I'm certainly working on. But it was, I guess, it was when I was a junior doctor, and comes in two phases. I think as a junior doctor, it was just general stress because you're working every hour of the day, doing lots of night shifts, lots of weekends. And because I was a bit older than the average doctor, because I'd had a career before, I was finding I was missing out on a lot. And I was actually really getting quite frustrated with the job because I felt like we were just pulled in every direction to do everything possible, and I felt like I was just plugging holes rather than really getting to the root cause of the problem with a lot of situations as a junior doctor. And then when I became a GP, we also had time pressures. We only have 10 minutes with each patient, which is absolutely nothing. And for me, I really desperately want to get to the root cause of people's problems, I was getting so frustrated that I wasn't able to really help people enough. And so I think in both of these situations, I feel like I've just been really, really frustrated. And that's when I realized that I just needed to do something different.
When you realize, oh, I just spent, you know, a lot of time learning something and then devoting myself fully to something that I thought was going to like fully satisfy me professionally. But then here I am realizing it's actually not quite what I want to do. Did you tell anyone?
No, I didn't. What I did was I just carried on, and I just thought to myself, I have to like this career. I have to love it because I've dedicated so much time and energy into it. And, you know, I'd made my parents really proud of becoming a doctor, and, you know, my friends were proud, and I was proud as well, because that in my head was my ultimate job. It was my dream career after it, you know, after I'd sort of made that decision that I was going to become a doctor. And I felt really almost ashamed that I'd spent so long training and trying to become a doctor, and there I was there, but I wasn't happy. And I think it was really difficult. It was actually a really difficult time. I didn't tell anybody until my friends and my family all said, you know, gosh, you're really not happy, are you? You're just a bit miserable. And I said, yeah, I really am. I'm not enjoying this job. What can I do? And, you know, a lot of people do just stay in their career because that's what they feel they should do. And that's right. Society kind of tells us, well, you know, work is stressful, but, you know, hey ho. But that it didn't sit well with me. I just, in my opinion, I just felt like I really couldn't live this life. I was early 30s and I was miserable in my job. I just, something had to change.
Yeah, I think it takes a lot of courage to actually, you know, look at what you've done and then realize, yes, I did dedicate a lot of my time and energy and, you know, like probably some of the most important years of my life thus far to get me to where I am, but this isn't really the right thing for me, and then walk away from that. I think it just takes a lot of courage, and it's amazing to actually hear you say it. When you realize that this isn't really quite the it thing for you, then did you do any kind of exploration on your own, soul searching, to figure out what it is that you want?
Yeah, I did a huge amount of soul searching, actually. And when I went away to Bali, I just slowed down on everything. And I just really wanted to kind of figure out what my priorities were in life. And I realized that happiness and joy and being fulfilled in life were my priorities. And so when I realized that, I then started thinking, okay, what can I do? I always wanted to still be a doctor. I'm still proud of being a doctor, and I still work one day a week as a GP, and I still do love it. But I just felt like I wanted to be able to get to the root cause of the problem with a lot of my patients, and I wanted more time with them. And so I actually went in a few courses. I went to a couple of events locally in London, and I joined this amazing business coaching kind of community. And that was a real turning point for me, because I saw all of these amazing women who were previously in incredible jobs, corporate jobs, healthcare jobs, and they were all going through a similar thing to me. They were thought they'd really reached the pinnacle of their career, but they were miserable. They knew they wanted to do something else. And so I met all these women, and a lot of people were going into coaching, changing careers completely, like going into personal training. And I just thought to myself, wow, this is so inspiring. And when I saw that people were doing life coaching and health coaching, I was really intrigued by it. So I went off and did a bit of research, and then I actually signed up and did a course and actually got my coaching qualification. And I absolutely loved it. And I really felt like it really resonated with me. And so I actually ended up getting my own coach. Oh, wow. So I went one-to-one with a business coach, because I thought to myself, well, if I want to coach, then I need to get my own coach to experience it. So I actually got a business coach, and I was working with her for about 6 months. Mm-hmm. And she really, really helped me to figure out how I could use my doctor skills mm-hmm. to branch out and give more time to patients. And that's when health and life coaching really kind of came about.
Interesting. Wow. So you wanted to be a coach first, and then you got a coach, or was it kind of vice versa? You wanted to be a coach, and then you worked on being a coach, and then realized that it's actually super helpful for yourself to also have a coach?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, because actually I joined the business coaching community first because I wanted to figure out what I wanted to do in a career. And then I looked into coaching because I saw other people going into coaching obviously a different type of coaching, sort of more life coaching. Yeah. And then I was going through some therapy at the time, actually, for my disordered eating. And so I was seeing some coaching and therapy in my own life then. And I think that's when I realized, I thought, oh, coaching is interesting. And I don't think I said to myself, I want to be a coach, but right. I really resonated with it. And then I got a business coach, and it was only until I actually got my business coach that I realized, wow, actually, I want to do coaching myself.
And this business coach is to help you to help you figure out what you could do with your career. Is that right?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess she's not a career coach because in a way, and maybe it is, but she really helped me focus on where my priorities were and what my purpose was in life, and really helped me to realize what I wanted to do. But also, since I realized that I wanted to become a coach, she's actually really helped me to just push my boundaries a bit and realize that just knock down my limiting beliefs and really just step out of my comfort zone and put myself out there. So a coach is amazing at facilitating and motivating.
That's wonderful. We've talked to a couple of coaches here as well. And I think starting to really think that, like, I don't know, we're starting to really look at coaching from a different light. Cause I think coaching has evolved, and these days they are kind of different from what we used to think about coaches. Could you share with us more about what your coaching sessions were like?
Absolutely. So essentially, I would have a coaching call every couple of weeks with her. It would be online, so through videos, and she would just really get me clear on what my purpose is, what my mission is in life, and really just help me get clear on what I really want to do. And it's just a really, I don't know, the coaching is interesting because it's essentially as the client myself, as a client, and the coach is really trying to motivate you to come up with all of the answers yourself. So you've got all the answers there. They just help to facilitate you to answer, to bring out those answers. And so, yeah, it's, it was just an amazing experience because I knew that I knew what I wanted to do, and they just, you know, the coach just facilitated it. So they were really good sessions, and it was very inspiring. And the community itself was amazing as well. She's built up this amazing community, and I've managed to meet lots and lots of inspiring people who are doing similar career changes, which is lovely.
Oh, how did you get to meet the community? I imagine it to be more like one-on-one, or was it sort of like an online community and you can get to talk to other people that she coaches?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's like a lovely online community, and that's, you just pay a subscription, and then essentially you just meet like-minded people. And then if you want to do one-to-one coaching, then you can do that as well. So it's just a really nice way of introducing yourself into coaching, I guess.
I see. And did you find this online, or was it somebody that you found through your network?
Interestingly, it was a friend who had been to a workshop, and she said, you know, oh, I think this community would be amazing for you, because I was doubting my career choices at that time, and so it was just a friend who recommended it, which was amazing.
I love how you have such good social support from your friends and your family who refer things to you and kind of like remind you that, for example, like you were so stressed out, you didn't take a break, and then you can talk to these coaches and, you know, these will be, you know, helpful for you. And I think that's really wonderful.
I'm really, really lucky. I've got a wonderful family, a wonderful group of friends, and I'm very, very lucky.
And tell me about your coaching.
So essentially I now, coach one-to-one clients, and essentially I'm very open, because I really want to help people manage stress, essentially. So my focus is on helping people to manage stress, avoid burning out, and finding more joy in their life. And so I've got a few clients at the moment, and many of them are going through different stresses in their lives. Some are having relationship problems. Some people are having career choice problems. And some people are just unsure about their health. So it's quite nice. Health and life coaching works really nicely together. So I've got someone who's just got no motivation to exercise, really struggling with their health in terms of their diet. And so I've been able to help him with that, which has been really, really nice. And now I'm going to help him with some self-esteem issues and confidence issues with around his family and his work. And yeah, so it's so lovely because I've got such a variety of clients at the moment who have different struggles in their life. And it's just lovely to be able to try and help them to essentially find more joy and happiness in their life.
Yeah, it seems like there's a huge focus on like these really important things that a lot of people just are not talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you mean that by stress or more the joy and happiness?
Joy and happiness, really. I mean, stress first, but then there's also the joy and happiness that I think it's important, and I really don't hear enough about it. People talking about it.
Yeah. I do agree, because I think as humans, I think we naturally don't share when we're feeling happy and joyful together. And, you know, sometimes we think maybe we're bragging or showing off, you know, I guess if you're celebrating your gains and your wins, then I think, you know, some people do see that as showing off, but actually we should be celebrating it. And I think as humans, we tend to moan a lot and look at the negative things in life. And it sometimes brings people together at the same time. But actually I really feel like we need to be sharing happiness and joy more, because the more we share happiness and positivity and joy, the more, you know, people will experience joy and happiness. So I think it's really important to talk about.
Wonderful. And then for other people that are also interested in, you know, maybe potentially becoming a coach, can you share how exactly you were able to do that? I think obviously because you were already a GP, so you were already in that capacity of helping and guiding a lot of people, but to actually go from, you know, not having a coaching business to be able to say that, you know, online or have your own website and say that you are a like coach and health and life coach, like what was the process like? Were there classes that you thought was very helpful for somebody that, you know, are looking, maybe potentially looking into becoming a coach themselves?
Yeah, definitely. So essentially, there's lots and lots of different courses, I guess, you can go on. Now, you can really go down the route of, you know, like years and years of courses, or you can do more online self kind of learning courses as well. And I guess it just depends on what you want to do. And I think with coaching, I think it's you're always learning as well. So you might do a course to get your qualification, but then actually continue to do more courses and learn as you go along. So that's really what I'm doing. So I've done kind of a foundation in my life coaching. I'd already done a qualification in health coaching as a doctor, and so now life coaching was the new qualification for me. And you know, I did that through online means, doing modules and coursework, and that for me worked well because I was still working as a GP. But some people do actually go and do more intense courses where you go face to face and do coaching courses. There's lots out there, and I guess it just depends what works for you.
I'm also, you know, like, just like Dana, really curious and interested about maybe potentially finding a coach. But, you know, what would be your advice to people that don't have a coach yet but are looking for one? Like, let's say for a life coach, you know, what are some criteria when you were looking for your own life coach? Like, what did you look for specifically? And then also for like a business coach, did you want the person to have certain type of experience or a certain type of I guess, product or service offerings that, you know, appeal to you more so?
Yeah, I guess for me, I needed to, experience-wise, I'm not too worried, actually. It's more how you resonate with that person. You need to get on with them. You need to click. You need to really, yeah, have a good sort of rapport with that person. And I think if you follow people on social media or you go to events where they're talking, then you'll get to know whether you like that person or not. And I guess if you resonate with that person, then you will work a lot better with them as a coach. I think it's, for me personally, I think that relationship or that rapport is really, really important because you need to trust that person. And you really, you know, coaching is hard. It really gets you to delve deep into maybe some of the darkest areas in you and bring up some maybe unpleasant things. And so you really need to feel quite comfortable with that person. And so I think in a personal level, I really do feel getting that rapport with that person is really important. So exploring maybe on social media or going to events where there might be coaches around, I think is a really good way of getting to know somebody. And then if you click with somebody, give it a go.
Great point. And tell us how you found your first client.
So, so it was on social media actually, which I was really grateful for because I had launched my website and I had just started out and it was he approached me actually, which was really lovely, and so I was hugely grateful for that. And then since then it's just been through word of mouth and through my website, and I'm starting to sort of do more events and things where people are getting to know me. And I think that's the thing: if you show up and you turn up and your people get to know you, then that rapport is built and they'll hopefully choose you as a coach.
Oh, wow. So someone just contacted you on social media. I'm obviously looking at all of your offerings as a health and life coach. Then tell us, so I guess I'm sure it's been a few months now that you've been doing this full time. Tell us, what are some of the issues, like, or, you know, not necessarily issues, that's probably not the best way to say it, but what are some of the biggest concerns people come to you with?
So essentially, I guess being a GP, I think people have resonated with me if they've had previous anxiety or depression, and they're on medication. And although I, as a coach, I'm not giving medical advice because that the boundaries need to be set there. But I think people have come to me because I have this medical background, and they've had mental health issues in the past. And so, and then I guess, yeah, I think also people have come to me because, mainly people have had major issues with anxiety and stress. And so I think, yeah, being a GP has helped with that because I've got a huge understanding of how to manage it. And People with health anxieties as well, so unsure what to do in their health, so they need to improve their diet or change their exercise, but also having relationship issues and just not really sure where they're going in life. So actually, do you know what? It's such a huge variety that I've been seeing. So I could deal with quite a few things.
That's amazing. And I assume the courses you did, they were helpful in helping you answer or support these people in finding their answers.
Absolutely. And I think, to be honest, I think life experience is a huge thing. My experience as a GP has been a huge thing. And my own life experiences, but also the coaching. I guess with the coaching courses, it just gives you the tools to be able to facilitate people to come up with the answers. So, but what's nice is that with coaching, you can be quite fluid. And some people are very, very strict coaches, and where they don't really speak and the client comes up with all of the answers. But for me, I'm a little bit different, because as a GP, I come up with a lot of solutions. And so coaching is quite different to being a GP. And so I've kind of merged the two, and I'm kind of halfway in the middle. So it's actually really lovely, because I help people. I don't necessarily offer solutions, but I just help to give a little bit of advice, as well as getting the client to facilitate. Well, I facilitate them to come up with the answers. So it's actually quite nice that I've merged the two together and used my skills.
I'm curious to learn more about how you grew on, I guess, social media and word of mouth. What do you think is the most, I guess, valuable thing that you did that helped drive clients to you?
I think for me, I was quite new to social media before I did all of this. I had a little bit of a blog situation going on Instagram, but it wasn't huge. And so getting professional photographs really helped, because it really gave a, yeah, it just looked really good on my Instagram page. And getting a lovely website and having all my information out there was key as well, for people to be directed to. I've got some business cards, which I now hand out when I'm at events. But I think just being present in events and getting myself out there and speaking, you know, don't get me wrong, I've got so much more to do. I'm still in the infancy of everything, and I know I need to show up more. So I'm going to be doing some more like Instagram TV stories, and I'm going to be doing a series, and I'm going to do more events myself. So yeah, it's I think for me was getting professional photographs, getting my website, and just starting to show up and get out there, really.
Yeah, I think sometimes when people look at someone else's, say, their social media, sometimes they get a sense that they don't really know this person behind the brand. And I think it's very helpful to talk to people.
Definitely. And that's what I've realized, is because, you know, if you look on my social media at the moment, it's photographs, it's pictures, which is great. But also I need to do a lot more talking. So I want to do more talking around what I do. And I think that's when people can really relate to you and get to understand you a bit more. And so, yeah, it's work in progress.
Yeah. And I know that you have a retreat that you co-found with a friend. I'm interested to find out more about it.
Yeah, so it's again, this is all on the theme of stress and burnout. My friend used to be in a corporate world in branding and marketing, and she experienced burnout herself. And then she has become a personal trainer and a Pilates instructor. And so she's had a huge U-turn in her career change. And we live close to each other in London, and we just got talking, and we both said, look, we really, really want to reach out to more people. We really, really desperately want to help people just manage stress and avoid burning out. And so we decided that we desperately, desperately wanted to offer people the opportunity to escape the city and to get into a beautiful, beautiful, like relaxing environment in the countryside, and just spend the weekend just learning techniques to be able to manage their stress and essentially de-stress. And so I talk to everybody about the signs to look out for when you're stressed, and the sort of things you can do to help manage your stress and avoid burning out. And then Yasmin, my friend, she's amazing. She does some really beautiful restorative exercise on the weekend. And we go through Pilates and amazing stretches. And we talk about how we can manage sleep, meditation, do breath work. And we have amazing food. And it's just in a beautiful setting. Go for walks. It's just wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful.
That sounds amazing.
I'm really curious about the retreat, just because it's such a different format. I feel like, or I imagine, let's say I have you as my life coach, and we probably have some kind of a medium or format where we are more or less like communicating on a regular basis. But the retreat to me kind of just like really takes you away from your, you know, the familiar surrounding and your day-to-day for like a few days. So what do you think is so special about that kind of experience versus having like a coach or somebody that you talk to on a regular basis?
I love the fact that you can, well, for me, it was really being held accountable, to be honest. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, when you're being coached, it's the ball is in your court. So as the client, you have to come up with all the answers. You're the one that has to make the magic happen. You know, the coach is just helping you come up with these things. And so essentially you've got to do the hard work. And so having a coach on a regular basis means that you're held accountable. You have goals. So, you know, after every call, I give my clients homework, and they're the goals that they want to reach. And so by the next call, maybe in a couple of weeks' time, you know, we're hoping that they've achieved those goals, and then we can think of more goals to work towards. And if they haven't achieved those goals, then we explore why that might be the case. So why have they not achieved the goals? Is it because of something holding them back? Or is it that the goal wasn't achievable? And so it's really nice to work on a one-to-one basis, on a regular basis, to just really figure out what's holding them back to not achieve certain goals, and really to, yeah, hold them accountable.
Mm-hmm. And tell us what it's like working, you know, for yourself. Obviously you have your own business as a health and life coach, but then, you know, you co-founded this retreat where you are working with another co-founder. You know, tell us the difference between, like, you know, working for yourself versus working with somebody else as a co-founder. Is it easier? Yeah, is it harder? Is it less scary?
It's really interesting, actually. I guess working with somebody else is amazing, because it's lovely to have someone there to bounce ideas off and to have some company, and it's quite sociable, and, you know, the pressure's off just you. You know, you can share the pressure and share the stress, which is lovely. At the same time, you know, we work really, really well together. We get on super, super well. But at the same time, if you have a real fixed opinion about something and they disagree, then there's always a bit of tension there. But that's rare. That's really rare. But I guess working for yourself is lovely, because you make your own decisions, and you can govern your own week and your own day. And so you're in control of everything, which is lovely. But at the same time, it can be quite lonely. Thankfully, I've got a lovely supportive network around me. But if you don't, then it can be quite lonely. I think also, you know, you can't bounce ideas off people, and if you don't have that support network around you. And so it can be hard working for yourself, but at the same time, it can be hugely rewarding as well.
Now that you transitioned into this coaching business and you do retreats, how does your lifestyle, how is it different now from before?
Oh gosh, it's amazing. So, oh my goodness, my life is just, I mean, don't get me wrong. I have my stressful moments still, but I love it, because I work as a GP one day a week, and then I've got my coaching clients one or two days a week, depending on how many clients I've got at the time. And then I do one day a week with my co-founder of Restorative Retreats, and we do and we work together and have business meetings. So essentially, my weeks are very, very different. Each week is different, and so, you know, I'll get up and do some exercise and have my breakfast and then plan. So I always have to have an organized plan, because otherwise I can procrastinate and I will sit down and think that I'm doing something and forget that what I'm doing. So I need to have a good plan of action and set my goals and set my tasks and achieve them. And then, you know, and then I have some time to also go out and do events and access events and network myself and have time off to see friends. So, you know, my life at the moment is really lovely. I feel like I've got a lovely balance of things at the moment.
That's wonderful. And do you have any tips to be productive and stay on your timeline? Because now that you are essentially, you don't need to, you know, be at work at a certain time and then go home at a certain time. How do you make sure that your days are productive?
Yeah, it's a really good question. So I do wake up fairly early. I wake up at 7:30 and I just make sure that I do my exercise in the morning, and or if I don't, it doesn't matter. But I do something like a meditation or some exercise in the morning to set myself a good intention for the day. And then following that, I just write down my goals for the day. So what do I need to achieve today? And I make them realistic so that I don't put too much pressure on myself. And so I think it's really key to just have a really good plan and so that you can tick things off and get things achieved. And essentially what I tend to do is I finish my day when I've finished what I need to do, but I often do try and finish in a reasonable time around 6-7 o'clock in the evening so that I do have a good evening, because if I don't have a good evening, then I don't sleep well. And so I am quite strict with myself. But the problem is with being self-employed is that if you get emails through at the weekend or you have things that you haven't done during the week, like letter, then I do tend to work at the weekend too. So sometimes if I don't have anything to do over the weekend, then I'm fine with that. But if I'm very busy, then I do sometimes have a bit of an issue because I feel a bit stressed on a Sunday evening to get something done. But I am quite strict with myself that I do tend to have my weekends off and my evenings off so that I do have, you know, some time to just process things and switch off.
What's your advice for people that, you know, also want to kind of leave their comfort zone and start their own business? Do you think they necessarily need to maybe, I don't know, go read more about how to start a company? Or do you think it's more important to maybe do some soul searching to make sure that that's the right decision? What's your advice on that?
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know if it's the right advice, but essentially I would say just go for it. If you've got some doubts in your mind, I would just, yeah, and you really want to leave your job, I would just say, look, you know, go for it. I understand that for some people it's very difficult financially, because if you do suddenly quit your job and you've got nothing else as a backup, then that can be really daunting and potentially worrying. So I was very lucky as a GP. I could cut down my hours and still work as a GP so that I was getting money in. And then I did my exploring of what I wanted to do at the same time. So I guess it does depend on people's circumstances. But if people are wanting to change careers, I really would just explore it as much as possible. So soul searching, absolutely. Why do you want to change careers? What is it that you don't like at the moment? And then on the flip side is, what do you want to do? Like, what is your purpose? What is going to make you happy? And what's your gut feel about what you really, really want to do in life? And just explore as much as you can, do some research. But at the same time, you can research for years and years and years. And actually, if you don't take that plunge and actually make that change, then you're never going to do that. It's never going to be the right time, is it? You know, and I'm still learning on the job. I'm still trying to figure out how to do things. And, you know, you make mistakes along the way. Nothing's going to be perfect. But if you don't make that leap, then you're never going to know.
So now that you have this coaching business going on and you also do the retreats, and you were in the GP, you were a GP in the past. What do you think if you were to ever do a pivot or do something else, what do you think that could look like for you next?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I mean, I have to admit, looking back at my career choices, it's an interesting one. And who knows, I could easily do another career change. I guess it just depends on what happens in your life, doesn't it? You know, I'm hoping to have children at some point in my life. And, you know, at that point, I don't know what will happen. I don't know. I've always actually had this imagination. I would love to run like a lovely kind of B&B or another, actually maybe just do retreats. I really like that idea of doing that. But I think I'll always want to be a coach, because I can do that remotely. I can do that with children, and it is bringing me a lot of happiness and joy at the moment. So yeah, I don't know. Anything could happen. Anything could happen.
I see. And let's see. I believe that's probably all our questions. Angela, do you have any more?
Yeah, I think anyone that's listening to this who are potentially interested in becoming a coach or starting their own business is going to want to, you know, like ask you probably for some of your recommendations on resources, you know, to read or to like watch or to listen to about starting your own business and, you know, keeping yourself motivated and also productive.
Yeah, that's a really, really good question, because resource-wise, I think that's quite a personal thing. You know, what I did was I started following people on Instagram that were potential life coaches and then I life coaches and business coaches. And I also listened to a lot of TED Talks and podcasts and just went to events. So I guess it's difficult for me to kind of name particular ones, because if you're living in different parts of the world, it's going to be completely irrelevant. But I think essentially what I would say is start following people on social media that you find interesting. Look at local events around you that are maybe, you know, displaying kind of career coaches or just inspiring events and talks. Mm-hmm. And also start looking at some podcasts out there that might be talking about career changes or coaching, mm-hmm. for example, and just absorb yourself in that. And then as soon as you start listening more and reading more and attending events, then you'll just something will click and you'll just know that that's what you want to do.
And for people out there who are interested in your services, how can they contact you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm on Instagram and Facebook at Dr. Christy Lewis. So it's D-O-C-T-O-R, Christy Lewis. and also I've got a website, drchristylewis.com. And yeah, so essentially I'm on social media and I've got a website and I'm always here. So I love to hear people, you know, to hear from people. So if anyone wants any advice or coaching tips or wants to do one-to-one things or wants to come to one of our retreats at Restorative Retreats, then yeah, I'd love to hear from people.
Well, thank you for your time and we'll be in touch.
Thank you so much. I've had such a lovely, lovely conversation. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode, and thank you for listening. Be sure to subscribe for more interviews and check out our other social media for more content. We are on Medium, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can find all the links in our profile. Leave us a message, tell us what you think and what you want to hear more of. Once again, thank you for listening, and I hope this inspires you to be the change you wish to be and pave the way for more fulfilling careers. Good luck.